UK, of course, gearing up to take part in the European elections next month after it was granted that Brexit extension that runs through until Halloween. The Prime Minister had initially said that taking part in elections was something that absolutely would not be happening, but it's becoming more and more like as if it may be happening. Technically, they could still avoid it. Let me speak to Eamon Malley. Eamon, good morning. Good morning, Eamon. Let me see. Don't have Eamon on that line. Let's see if we can get him on this one, where I'm sure he'll be able to loudly and clearly hear us. Good morning, Eamon.
I'm right here.
Good man. You're the man I need. You're on the end of the line. What do you make of the current situation, Eamon? How do you see it playing out?
Well, short of some miracle of a deal between Labour and the Conservative Party, very, very quickly, it looks as if we are headed for European elections. Now, this is against the grain in many ways. Everybody thought, at least Mrs. May had told us over and over again, there would be no European elections. Everything would be resolved prior to that. So I think this is going to be a bit of a printer's harvest now, because the demands on printers will be immense, and the machines will be sort of really speeding up in coming days. I was listening last night, and I'm watching one printer whose big problem at this moment in time is a question of resources, having the necessary paper, all of those things ready for posters, etc., etc. And I think people have been jumped here somewhat.
It's interesting that there's always a bounce for someone, no matter what the crisis happens to be. Do you imagine that whenever these European elections do come around, that it'll be the same runners and riders, same people getting elected? Or could you see maybe a very low turnout and some sort of reflection on how society feels? Or maybe a massive turnout and people deciding that they're going to protest one way or other? Will excitement mount for this, or are people going to say, for goodness sake?
Well, I know that in the Democratic Union circles, there's genuine concern that that people simply might not come out. I don't know whether this election is going to be seen necessarily in the light of other elections, assembly elections, etc., as our Westminster elections, as green and orange as such. I'm not sure that people are going to think that way. It's a very difficult one for so many people, for the farming community, for people in community, for people in business, etc. Because voting for people to leave Europe, in many ways, is almost voting for your own death sentence if you're a farmer. I mean, so I do know now there are a lot of partisan farmers, dairy farmers, who ship their milk every single week to Cavan. Now, they are panicking. Retail is slowing down. There are so many manifestations of indecision in the market here. I was discussing this with people in the property world yesterday. I've been speaking to contacts within the farming community. And even in the Republic of Ireland, where you think there'll be considerable stability now, with Europe standing 1,000% behind Leo Varadkar, the reports emanating now are demonstrating indecision in industry at a lot of levels because of the overall uncertainty of where things are going.
I'm just looking at the numbers in relation to the MEPs. If you're in a quiz, you would be able to answer it, I'm sure, Eamon, but a lot of people probably wouldn't. They wouldn't know that there are 751 MEPs. That's a lot of people. They're elected, of course, and a lot of it depends on the population of the country, on how many MEPs you have. The UK actually has 73 MEPs. We only get three ourselves.
Yes, and the thing about it is, the Republic of Ireland, for example, they were hoping to get two extra had the UK dropped out. But now, if the UK are fighting the elections, that changes again. We've had consistently gone right back to 1979, three MPs. Of course, in the early days, you had big figures like John Hume and Paisley dominating, and John Taylor to a lesser extent. And so in more recent times, Diane Dodds, or Martina Anderson topped the poll, but Diane Dodds then, as the DUP candidate, polled a couple, 20 or 30,000 less and ended up then with a larger overall figure. But it'll be a bit of a dogfight. And if we have people like Naomi Long entering the equation, that Naomi Long will definitely do damage somewhere along the way. She will pick up votes. She will get, people will vote, and people will come out and vote because she is in the running, I think, right across the board. People who wouldn't normally maybe vote, they'll vote for her. Or people who might have traditionally voted for the SDLP, because there's so much confusion within the SDLP now. And Mark Durkan made the jump to be a Fine Gael candidate in Dublin. Maybe that was premature. Maybe if we were here now, he might be the Euro candidate, and maybe an appropriate Euro candidate. He would still have considerable attraction, I think, in the community. So it's going to be a fascinating election. Diane Dodds, she wants to run again. Jim Nicholson is in a quandary. There's a bit of ambiguity. His party leader was a little ambiguous, one thought, and Jim himself, in some interviews he's done recently, implied some ambiguity. Now, he's 74 now. Whether he thinks he's had enough, I don't know. But it's challenging, another election, the campaign, all of that. But will the turnout be low? Certainly some Democratic sources are saying they will be worried that people may not turn out. The election is incongruous. You have people in the Democratic Unionist Party who hold up Europe, have derision for Europe, and are fighting to be in Europe. Now, should they logically, morally get elected and not take salaries? Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm only challenging. It could easily be a parallel to the Sinn Féin situation. Westminster, is that the course of, is that the direction of travel they would take?
No, just on the salaries element, Eamon, I read an article when Mark Durkan was putting his name forward to be the Fine Gael candidate, and it was basically about why he would be interested in doing it. And obviously, he's a political animal and he wants to be involved. This is what he sees as his future. But it went on then to analyse what a term in the European Parliament can mean financially to someone who is elected. And if you serve a full term in the European Parliament, taking into it expenses, taking into it payments that you'd be getting for salary, taking into it other methods of income that would arise as a result of you being such a high profile figure, it is a £1 million reward to serve for a term in the European Parliament.
It has always been traditionally viewed as the sort of honey pot, you know. And then the rules and regulations were brought in. If you're at Westminster, then you had to take a reduced salary there, et cetera, et cetera. Similarly, in the Assembly. It's certainly the most lucrative end of the market. And the system is well rehearsed. So it's an attractive level of income. There's no doubt about it. And it's odd, though, if you don't want to be in Europe. Northern Ireland has done very well out of the EU, very, very well, PEACE 2, 3, etc. And it's no time since Diane was telling everybody she'd be working day and night for the latest tranche of peace money, you know. Now, will these people still pursue and have the begging bowl out for European money, these people who want to leave the EU? These are contradictions. And how will these sort of contradictions work in the minds of...
The question is, how will it work in the minds of whoever Eamon was about to make a reference to, because his line has just gone down. Just double-checking to see if indeed it's still up to finish the sentence. Are you still there, Eamon?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just finish the sentence. Working in the minds of...
Of the population, of the community. How is the population going to respond to the negatives, to the ambiguities, to the line of confusion within the politicians, you know? And it's an imponderable, it's an interesting election, an imponderable. But the clock starts now, I suspect, and you will have people on your doorstep engaging in local government election and your election canvassing. From now on, our street the other day, there was an Alliance Party army outside our door the other day. I suppose we'll have loads of people now pounding the streets and knocking our doors in the coming days.
Okay, Eamon, thank you very much indeed. The armies from all those parties are on the march. I want to speak to Alex Kane, who's available for a conversation as well. This is Friday morning on the U105 phone-in. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Frank. How are you? It's a lovely sunny day.
It is a lovely sunny day. And Eamon painting a picture there of us all getting our doors well and truly knocked, whether it be as a result of people who want to get onto the council or individuals who want to represent us at the European Parliament. You can buy wee cards, I think, in the likes of these pound shops, and you put them on your gate. No canvassing here. I think there might be a suggestion that people would be taking those steps. We could be very fed up with politicians. Sorry, let me rephrase that. We could be even more fed up with politicians by the end of May.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, yes, we could be. Interestingly, though, on this one, Frank, I think it's certainly the local government one might be slightly different. In terms of the European one, I have heard more interest, you know, in the whole Brexit stuff in the past 3 years and on any political subject in my life, even more than the Good Friday Agreement. Just, you know, people just stopping, the likes of me, journalists and commentators, to ask us, people just in pubs conversations, even just ordinary dinner table conversations, the number of events that have been organised, schools, kids, so many people talking about it, Frank. So there is a genuine interest in what's going on, and the people, you know, purists leave, purists remain and so on. There will be a battle there. So it may not be the sense that they want to be canvassed. It may not people want people knocking on their doors as such and so on. But I think we may find that this is the European election could be quite a high turnout in Northern Ireland.
It's one or other, isn't it? Either people are going to say, I've got a message for these politicians and I'm going to get out here and vote for whoever I think is the best man or woman, or there'll be an attitude of, for goodness sake. I get a sense from maybe we're quite close to it, Alex, because we're discussing it all the time. I get a sense that it'll be a large turnout if there is a European election, because people are angry and people want to have a say. Whereas you also get the feedback of, for goodness sake, Frank, not Brexit again.
Oh, yes, I hear all of that, Frank. But I still think, you know, maybe you're right. Sometimes in the world we live in, there can be a sort of bubble, because that's what I get paid to do, is talk about this. But I just know, just from the number of people who just randomly, oddly enough, this morning, I was just coming from somewhere else, and the guy just came up with a forecourt, and I just came up and just said, look, sorry to interrupt your morning, and he just wanted to talk about what was happening. Would there be a European election? Would this be happening? Would that be happening? And so on. But I think it's another thing we need to bear in mind, both with this, the European election, Frank, and the local government election. I think both Sinn Féin and the DUP, they won't ever say it as such, but I think this will be a dry run, if you like, almost for a border poll, because the unionists will want to say, the DUP will be wanting to say, look, you know, the unionist vote has gone up, it's maximised, so forget all this talk about the need for a border poll. You know, if there was one, look at these figures, you would lose. They want to see, they haven't been comfortably above 50% for quite a while now. They'll want to push 3, 4, 5%. They will make this, you know, this is not just about Brexit, it's not about local government, this is about the unions, it's about our future. We're 2 years away from the centenary of Northern Ireland. That's what it's going to be. And equally, Sinn Féin will lead it, but broader nationalism, who are very unhappy with the DUP, will buy into it. Look, if we're ever going to get the United Ireland, if we're ever going to get the border poll, we have to show that our vote is rising, constantly rising. So I think, in essence, Frank, that's what this election, it will be pure numbers game, and that too, I think, will feed into a much larger turnout than where. I could be entirely wrong in this, but I just have this feeling, Frank, that there are people on the border issue, on the constitutional issue, on the Brexit issue, they want to say something, maybe not directly to politicians, but there's something they want to say. They want to get it off their chest. They want to get it out there. So I just think that this is going to be a great interest in these two elections.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the border poll. Everything we're learning about smooth transitions and orderly exits. Can you imagine how difficult the transition would be and how disorderly the exit would be if there was a vote for a United Ireland?
Oh, well, just... Which is why, of course, the DUP in particular do not want that in the present circumstances. I mean, I think Peter Robinson, I think it was last year, in his first speech as Queen's Professor of Honorary Professor of Peace Studies or something like that, he said, you know, this couldn't be done. You know, even if there was a vote for United Ireland, it would take years, because both governments said they would facilitate the outcome, but my goodness, Frank, that would be a long, long, long. You think Brexit is long drawn out? A border poll one would be, but that's what's in people's mind. The fact that I've heard unionists on all sides, from all parties, TUV, DUP, PUP, all of them sort of say, you know, the real issue here, Alex, is maximizing our vote. We have to find a way of sending that message. So the same with nationalism. Because look at, you know, the 32-county conference in the waterfront, Sinn Féin, the SNP, some of the stuff Varadkar said. This is the debate now. And, you know, when the count's over, it won't be, oh, remain or leave. When the count's over for local government, it won't be, oh, which council is going to be better. This will be how many unionists voted, how many nationals voted, and what does that say in terms of the constitutional question? But yeah, I think that pre-eclipses, dominates every other issue, Frank, in a way that never has them. People always say in Northern Ireland, oh, it's always about the border or it's always about the constitution. In my lifetime, I have never seen it at the level it is at right now. And I think, again, that's what will feed in to the turnout and to the debate.
Do you know, Alex, people will be coming up to you in petrol forecourts for some time to come. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
Right. Take care. Bye.
Alex Kane, political commentator on the U105 phone-in.